seem to come to the sacred desk. I always come here with a measure of awe of God, because God is an awesome God.
Yes. Oh, yes, He is.
Amen. I want to say thanks to Brother Tavey. He put me fixed me a little card here with monkeys and the whole bit here. Just kidding. Kind of comical. But in either case, very good gesture of a greeting for the birthday. Amen. Without any further delay, though, however, let us go ahead and open up the sacred word of the Most High God. Amen. We know that it is God's word that does everything. It works out everything in our lives, basically, and it is the answer to questions that we have. It's the answer to problems that we have. It's the answer to things we want to do.
All right.
It actually serves and meets us at the point of our needs in many, many, many ways. God has designed it so that it would be that way. He made the word a perfect assortment of everything you need in life. So we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. And what I have found, and this is how we got here, is I have found that it's only a matter of, do we actually take it to heart? And we have to, because it's about your innermost being as well as it is the outermost being, if I can say that. Remember what Paul said, and we hit on this last week on last Lord's Day. He said that even though the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. So in other words, while the outside is going down and progressing into decay, like everything does in the earth, they call it the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. I'm not trying to get scientific on you, but the fact is everything tends to decay. And it includes people and animals, the earth structures, everything. And it was caused by sin. I don't think God originally created stuff to tend to decay. But I think that was the process of what happened when sin entered into the creation and corrupted something that God had made in holiness. Amen. And so it explains the reason why we have so many things to deal with personally. And it's going to be the answer. To me, it was a great relief to understand that God picks us up wherever we are along the paradigm of life, going from the womb to the grave as we're passing through. But He wants you to know that I want to be with you on that journey. Yes. And I have a positive solution to it, no matter how grim it looks. It could look pretty grim. Now, you might have some grim situations. We talked about that a couple of Sundays back. How that the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yes.
So that's the thing we're talking about. How do we get God on board with us to walk with us through all of what we're dealing with? And you know what? The world, the Bible says, will progressively get worse and worse. He says, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what Paul writes to Timothy.
Yes, yes.
See, so we're going to see an incline in evil and craziness, but we're also going to see that God's program is right on target.
Yes.
What He wants to do is connect with us in a personal way and get into our life to the point that He can mold and shape us from within. That's what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make, this is the great news, and I'm trying to give you a little exposition. The great news is that He doesn't mind wherever we happen to be.
All right.
You can be in the scrap pile of life. You can start there. God says, get up out the scrap pile and come and follow me. I've given my son, and I will declare you just as perfect as the person that was raised in the church. I declare you righteous if you trust in my name and believe that I gave my son. Why can I do that? Because He paid the bill entirely.
Yes.
For all of you, no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. And the word says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. See, don't harden your heart against what God is saying. He said, I'll take you right now from wherever you are, and we'll walk on from here on. And that'll be the best walk you ever took, because you can walk in peace. You can walk in comfort. God's going to be showing up in your life. He's been there all the time. You just haven't noticed it. Amen. So let's talk about that here. Let's take a look as we read a few scriptures on this subject from the book of Jeremiah. Y'all know we've been kind of, we love the Old and the New Testament around here, because it's just so rich. All of God's word is rich. and has a benefit for us all. So we're going to look at the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, just a few verses. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able, and we're going to read this together from chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 10, and then also in the New Testament, stick a bookmark in case you don't have our handout from 2 Corinthians 5. 17 to 21, those will be the concluding verses in that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, as we call it. And so let's start with the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the new covenant, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The new covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And we're going to talk on the subject of molding the heart to trust Christ. Molding the heart to trust in Christ. It's important that we learn how this happens. This is the work, the internal working of the Holy Spirit is to shape and mold us. I heard Minister Patey say earlier today something. He said that he lives on the potter's wheel. And I think that's a beautiful way to look at it. We stay on the wheel. The potter starts with a big blob of clay. It's just a big thing. He slaps it on there and the wheel starts spinning. He starts to spin the wheel, but he begins to work on that thing and begins to form it and mold it and shape it, and he's making it into a vessel. He has something in his mind what he wants it to look like. And so he begins to work on it and shape it and form it until it begins to look like what he's expecting for it to look like. He may have to slap in a little water or break a piece off, or he does stuff to it until he gets it to look the way he wants it to look. And so that's what the art of molding and shaping is, taking something that is in a mixed form, kind of like bakers who take bread and they knead the dough and then they roll it up and shape it certain ways, either to make biscuits or rolls. Don't let me go there now.
Come on.
I know a lot of folks' mind went straight to the cracker right when we said that. But I'm saying that kneading, that molding process, you see, is something that you do when you're making stuff. You want to shape it up to be a certain way, a loaf of bread or whatever it is that you happen to be making. And so we are always in that process of being shaped and molded. God wants to make us into better men and women than we are, because we've gotten off track. And so let's talk about that a little. Here's a situation that I wanted to put before you this morning. Jeremiah 17 and 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now, this is one reason I like the King James translation. I don't disapprove of some of the others, but in the King James, you can see something here.
Come on.
That ETH ending right here on the end of the word trusteth. That means you trust him now and you keep on trusting him. You don't switch on and off trusting God.
Come on now.
No matter what you go through, I hang on, I'm going to trust him all the way through. I'm going to continue to trust him. I started trusting him one day, and I'm going to keep on trusting him. from now on. No matter what happens, it's a continuation of trust in the Lord. And he said, blessed. That word blessed, that means happy, fulfilled. It's better than happy. It's like a deep-seated joy that I just know all things are all right. I'm content in God. I'm blessed. When we say I'm blessed, that's what we mean. We mean I'm no matter what happens, I know God got me. I got that security. I'm blessed in him. That's why Jesus said those things we call the Beatitudes over there. Blessed is the poor in spirit. He said, why? Because you can go through some things that may not be the happiest things in life, but he says that you're going to be blessed. You're going to continue in that. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Because you know there's a day coming when the thing that you desire is going to be done. So that blessedness is no matter what happens between now and then, I'm holding on. Can you imagine that woman, and we mention her so often, that she was an unclean woman because she had an issue of blood from her body. And back in those days, you would be ostracized. You better not come near anybody. Yep. And if you do, you better holler out unclean before you come over here. That's where, if we're going to be against you, you're going to be ostracized. And can you imagine her figuring out, now let's see, he's up there about a half a mile. I got about 2 miles of people between me and him. But I got to get up there where he is. I'm going to press through this crowd. If I got to get on the ground and go between their legs and go around them, I'm getting up there some kind of way. And she's setting her heart, and I'm going up here, and if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Remember she said that I'll be made whole. So she had her hope set on her wholeness. And she was going through all kinds of stuff. Man couldn't really help her. Man, it got to the point where we've tried everything, and you spent up all your money. Well, okay, we don't have no more time for you now. Just go over there and be unclean. And going on with your problem, man, put it to the side. Sometimes man will fail you. We know that. How many times have we been in a situation we look around and next thing you know, you have been failed. Somebody let you down. Well, that's what happens because man can only go so far. But this woman knew something about the Lord. She said, well, if I could just get close enough to the Lord to be in touch with him, that I should be healed. I'll be made whole. And she did. And you know how the story goes. She pressed her way through the crowd. She grabbed onto the hem of his garment. She touched, and power went out of him, and she was made whole. Her trust was to keep on pressing till I get to the Lord, whatever that takes. And it starts, as we say, the journey of 1,000 miles, and this is not biblical, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And if you keep on taking a step, you know what? If you don't ever take a step, how are you going to get the 1,000 miles behind you? It's not going to happen. You got to start getting on the move. I'm going to make a journey. It's going to start right now, and I'm going to keep stepping until I get what I need. And I understand, I may not even know what I need, but I know the Lord has what I need. So blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Now the Lord is my hope. It's not so much just what he has. He is my hope. Having that right relationship with him is what I need. I need that more than I need anything else. That's why Job said that. He said, I need the Lord more than my necessary food. You know, he said, I'd rather have the Lord than a sandwich. Now, we some of us probably don't feel like that. We have the meats. Some of us are kind of in that mode. But we want to learn, well, when I'm going to the Lord, I'm trusting to get in touch with him. What I need is him. Nothing else can satisfy me, you see. So it says here, when you do that, when you take that attitude, verse 8, Jeremiah 17 and 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and it spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now this image comes right out of the Psalter somewhat, and Jeremiah has given this in Revelation here. Psalm number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God has promised prosperity to that person who meditates in his law day and night. See, you know that God's got what I need. The world's got a bunch of trouble. There's a bunch of stuff going on around me, but I trust what God says no matter what It's the world. See, the world got a lot of bad advice out here. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I believe so-and-so. Where'd you get that from? Well, I read it on the internet. Well, the internet may take you the wrong way. But one thing you can count on, God's word will never take you the wrong way.
All right.
And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good information that's true out there on the internet, but you better have some discernment so you know how to pick through it. Because there's also a bunch of lies and half-truths, and as you say, a half-truth is a whole lie. You see, be careful that you dwell in God's word.
Yeah.
It's the word that is the trusted source.
Come on. Amen.
That will never take you the wrong way. You know, even if I don't understand it, we were talking about this morning. There's some stuff you don't understand. You read it and go, boy, what did that mean? That went over my head. Pray on it. Trust the Lord. Let him, his hope, your hope in him. Somebody wrote a song, I can be glad because my hope is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, he gives me confidence. You know, that the world does not know. He's the Lord of all creation, and in every situation, I'm glad that my hope is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sing it this morning. Y'all heard me. I'm trying to tune up here. But you got to trust God. When you do, God will begin to shape your heart. You know what? If you trust God on a situation that's over your head, something you don't understand, something I'm going through, something I've been accused of, I don't know why these people don't like me or why this, that, or the other, God's going to work it out. That's the thing you got to know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any difference what they're doing, and make any difference how I'm feeling. I might be feeling ostracized over a thing, but I'm trusting God. I hold on to him. See, I'm going to be like a tree. I'm not going to be moved.
Right.
See, nothing much more solid than a tree. I can't tell you how many cars and trucks I've seen wrapped all around a tree.
That's right.
Like, wow, you know, the tree's got a little bark knocked off of it, but the car is destroyed. I've seen it a number of times.
All right.
You see, so a tree, particularly a tree planted by the rivers of water, a tree that's rooted and got plenty to feed on, that's a strong tree. You hit that one, you really got trouble. So he says here that you'll be like a tree that spreads forth your roots out by the river. See that? And shall not see when the heat comes. There's going to be some 104 and 110 degree days, but it's not going to make any difference to you. That could be pressure and things that happen in your life. It's not going to take you out. You're going to be able to stand. Your leaves shall be green. That's just like the psalmist says, their leaves shall also not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. We'll be fruitful, as it says here in Jeremiah, even through the year of drought. You might say, look like this has been going on a long time, but it shall not cease from yielding fruit. He says, if you trust God, he's going to take you through.
Yeah.
It's a very good metaphoric way to say it, but you cannot trust your own heart.
All right.
That's how he switches channels here. Chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what? Your heart will sometimes take you the wrong way.
All right.
No, I feel in my heart I ought to do so. But you could be 100% wrong. If it's not what God said, trust God.
That's right.
Overrule the heart. And it won't be easy. You're going to have to let God mold your heart to attend to his word.
Amen.
To shut down opinions and things that people say. You have people who mean you well. And just like when Mary and the mother of Jesus and her other kids by Joseph came because it looked like Jesus was getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. They heard the rumors on the streets.
Uh-huh.
They heard about folks talking about putting him to death.
Yeah.
And she's his mother, so she goes to the edge of the crowd and sends word. Just tell him his mother and his sisters and his brothers are out here.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell him to come on home.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted him to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Her heart was telling her, you in trouble, my son. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming just as a mother.
Yeah.
To get you out of this mess. Come on home. You don't have to convince all of them about anything. Just come home. Jesus was on the mission for God.
Yes, he was.
His heart was fixed. He had set his face to do God's will, no matter what it cost him. And he knew what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah.
But for the mother who reared him up on her lap when he was born, and she dandled him up on her breast and breastfed him, she wasn't feeling it.
Right.
Her heart attitude was, no, I got to protect my son.
Yeah.
And I don't care what they say. They slandered you. They talk about you back, hang your back. But I'm protecting you. I'm coming to get you. Come out of here. So sometimes people have a good heart, and they think they know what you need.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But what I want you to know is God always knows what you need. You can trust his counsel above anything. It's not that these people were necessarily wrong or that they had a bad intention, but God's word, you got to learn to let him shape your heart and mold you to what he wants you to be. He's working on you every second of every day of your life. Now, and this heart issue is very important. This is what I want you to see. I'm going to grab a couple of verses to put before you. We don't have time. There's so many, it was unbelievable. I started looking at all the verses that talk about the heart in the word, but I'm just going to give you two this morning. Matthew 12 and 34, just a few verses past my famous and favorite, I shouldn't say that, but I guess I will. Matthew 12 and 30, Jesus says to some people, "Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." He says, you're speaking out of that evil that's already in you. He said here in Matthew 12 and 30, Luke 6, 45. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, see that? Bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh.
Yeah.
See that? So what's abundantly coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. See, the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah says, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You really can't know it because it's on and off. It flips and flops and blows with the wind, the human heart. So you got to be careful and let God shape and mold your heart. Now, the Jewish thought would be that the heart basically is the seat of the emotions, the will, the mind, and just your inner attitude, we can call it, for lack of a better term. So the heart is a very important subject in the Bible. So the fall of mankind from the innocence and perfection which God created him in which he was created by God, placed a devastating change of the human heart. That's what happened. The heart was affected by the problem of sin, which is considered in the scriptures to be the very seat of all matters pertaining to this life. The heart. That's why it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In an awful situation for the fallen state, in other words, when we were fallen because Adam sinned, which constantly spirals deeper into a far worse condition as it goes. The heart of man gets worse and worse. That's why Paul said that evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You're going to see more and more deception. And this is the part that's going to be hard. It comes in the name of peace and unity.
All right.
We should set aside what God said. Let's just have peace and unity. That's what people are going to be saying. Mm-hmm. See? But you know what? When you set aside trust in the Lord, guess what happened? You turned off the track.
Yeah.
And what God's counsel is going to stand, the Bible says, when the heavens and the earth have passed away.
Yeah.
See? So you can't sacrifice truth for political correctness. That's what they like to call it today. And so you're not helping anybody if you don't get them on the path of truth. We got to get you into the word, what God says. And that's what's going to really bless you and really help you. You got to let God mold your heart and unite your will to be in harmony with his will.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah explains that even the covenant people Israel had the same struggle, and that the human heart is the problem as it tries to trust in man or even in itself. Both of which only leads to destruction and separation from God. A lot of people want to do it their own way. A lot of people want to satisfy everybody in the world. Either one of them will lead you to destruction. The only one you got to give an answer to is the Most High God, and his counsel stands. He said, I gave my son to make you perfect, to make you clean. I have one way you can be saved. There are a lot of people, and I heard it on TV just recently, talking about, we do just as much good works as anyone else. I say, you might do that. That's right. There's going to be a whole lot of folks with a lot of good works who are not going to be saved because they rejected Christ.
All right.
God's counsel is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except by him. That's what he said. See? So you have to allow God to remold what you think. And you know, if you think about it, the cross would look pretty silly if there's another way you can get saved. Why would you allow your son to hang there and be stretched out between heaven and earth, flogged, beaten, spit upon, and mercilessly crucified, if you could just go sell a few baskets or give away a few things and you're going to be all right. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it,
man?
And so you have to understand the cross. Yeah. Not only that, but understand the magnitude of the person, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The world and all of time is split by Christ.
Yeah.
Everybody's calendar, all these folks saying they have all these systems of faith, you can't tell me when yours got started without using a date that's based on when Jesus was born.
All right.
So I think the validity of trusting Christ is greater than what you're presenting. So we got people who just came along in the past so many years here telling us that they have the way of salvation. Said, oh, okay, so all these other people from the time of Christ up to now died and went to hell, according to you, what you're saying. So you got to let God mold your heart to trust in Christ.
Yes.
And when he does, you'll have perfect understanding. You will be persecuted, Jesus said. He said, the soul persecuted they the prophets that were before you. He said, but when they persecute you and cast insults against you for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad.
Amen.
For great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven. See, so he said there was going to be persecution because you take a stand and let everybody know that your hope is in the Lord. It's in Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this amazing thing, and we'll be about done. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See that?
Yeah.
Some translations say new creation. All things are passed away. That means the old way I used to be, that's dead.
Yes.
Behold, all things are become new.
Uh-huh.
He makes you a new person.
Yes.
You have a new life.
Yes.
You know what? I can believe it coming from this guy. You know why? Because he hated the church.
Oh, yes, he did.
I hate the church. I got to go and beat it up, bust it up, kill it, do whatever I got to do, make it illegal, whatever I have to do to stop it. And God turned him around. So when he writes this, boy, it's got a lot of passion. If any man is in Christ, when you trust Christ, you are a new creature. The old stuff is passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And all things are become new. Your whole life is new from this point forward.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean you won't have that old man still tantalizing you and trying to bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul said in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Yeah.
It's like you got a corpse hanging on your back and you're going through life with this dead body hanging on you.
Yeah.
That's the picture in Romans 7.
Yeah.
But you know what? The dead body, guess what? It's dead.
Yeah.
So you got to crucify the flesh in regards to his lust. This is Paul who writes all these things.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got to stuff that away and realize I'm a new person in Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it's going to plague me. I'm going to have to deal with it on and off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want Christ and God's way of thinking and my heart to be molded to do it their way and not my own way. So that's the intimacy that God wants to have with you. Now notice verse 18, and all things are of God,
mm-hmm.
who hath reconciled us, that means set our account balance to zero. We don't owe him anything. Our account is reconciled by himself. He did it. We don't have to do it. By Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I get to participate in letting everybody else know
mm-hmm.
how they can be made right.
Amen.
God put it in our hands. You know what? There are no angels, ethereal beings out preaching, telling people stuff. The only ones telling people what God requires are his people.
Yeah.
So he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see that? To wit, in other words, what does that mean? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So you and I get the privilege to bear the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
To let people know, yo, will somebody not believe you? Certainly not. There's going to be somebody who says, that's ridiculous. They may even slander you. They may curse you. We went to a prison one time. We had somebody reach into the toilet and throw toilet water and told us, get out to your God. They were so upset.
Mm.
But you know what? I told you the truth, sir.
That's it.
And you should consider yourself blessed if somebody does you that way. Because you stand for what God told you to do. And he told you there will be tribulation. He said that, didn't he? In John 16:33,
yes.
These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he says here, getting back to Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know who the ambassador is? He's the one that represents a country. Like we have an ambassador in each foreign nation who is a representative from America that's there to represent the whole country. Or you send an ambassador out to try to make peace instead of having a war. So that's who we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're here in the hostile world trying to tell the hostile world that the God who you don't know loves you. He gave his son for you. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to trust him and believe that God raised him from the dead. And because he raised him from the dead, you know he can take care of every problem you have. See? And so we pray you, Paul says. Some translations say we beg you or beseech you. In Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's what our ministry is about. We want people to be reconciled to God. In other words, your account that you owed God for your sins, Christ paid it, your bill is paid. God loves you. He's going to move in, send his spirit into your life. He's going to mold you, shape you, and bring you up to be who he wants you to be. You'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now here's the summary, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that's Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. You see that? So this is why the Apostle Paul rejoices over the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And we, the church, that's you and me, have been given the magnificent privilege to share the news of his great mercy to the whole world, since he is molding our hearts as we grow with him. He's making us more able to take the responsibility that he has left us with. Amen. So we hope that if you are here today and you have never professed Jesus to be your Savior, we plead with you. It's okay to beg. Somebody wrote a song talking about they ain't too proud to beg. And we ain't too proud to beg either.
Amen.
We beg you, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We hope that you do. And if you do, it'll be the best thing you ever did. Let me ask everyone to stand, please. And let's pray. Everlasting God, we praise you this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have proclaimed that anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what the depth of their sin or unbelief may be, if we simply trust in your Son,
yes,
and believe that you raised him from the dead, you said we shall be saved. We become a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And Father, we need that. Some of us who've been walking with you wonder because the old man continues to plague us with different things. Father, but we know we have to put our trust in you and believe in you and lean and depend on you to mold our hearts and shape us into what we really need to be. And Father, we ask you to break the chains of our past, to infuse us with more devotion to yourself, to your word, to the church, to your spirit. Lord God, that we might become clean and walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes, Lord.
Father, if we stumble, forgive us, pick us up, help us to be moving on forward in your name. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Save somebody today who's uniting their hearts with the gospel of your Son. Bless every home and every family that's represented here today, Father. We need you. We cannot get along without you.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for the gift of your Son, and we ask that you make that plain in our minds, Lord, that when we select him, we have who we need in order to be right in your sight. Save anyone that's inviting you into their life right now, Lord God.
Right now, Lord.
Fill us, oh God. Use us in a way to reach out to others, Lord, who need to know this message. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glory, to him be glory and majesty, right now and forevermore. And the church together said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. We also, as you're standing, we want to give you the opportunity, if you, some of you may already be saved and you are looking for a church home, we are here to receive you. We want you to come now at this time and make it known if you're here and you need a church home. We give you that opportunity to come at this time. We would love to be a part of your discipleship to teach you. We just started that new member class. We got room. If we don't, we'll tear out a wall or move somewhere else to make sure we have space to accommodate you. Whatever we have to do, we want to invite you to come right now. Don't be afraid or ashamed to come. Come right now, whoever you are. We're here to receive you. And the scripture says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Amen. Let us pray. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come.
make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time.
Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. So we're going to go ahead and give a hallelujah anyhow to the Lord. Amen. And we hope you did get a good word from the message, something that will help you on through the week.